Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome to The Breakfast Bite. Andrew Mays with you on this Friday morning, the 28th of August, 2020. Plenty to come on the show this morning, including Joe Danaher. What a return as the Bombers were able to come back from 36 points down to defeat the Hawks last night.
It might just fall for Joe again. He's kicked another one!
Meanwhile, in the later game, Richmond, well, this was a clash of the heavyweights, and they prevailed by 27 points over West Coast. Despite a bit of a late flurry from the Eagles, the Tigers held strong, and they confirmed they are one of the premiership contenders this season.
Little right foot banana, got it bending.
Gee, look at the sharpness of that bend. Have you ever seen something bend at right angles like that? Just hear it fluttering in the wind, Joe. Like that.
We've got it all covered for you. Whatever's happening in the world of sport over the next 25 minutes on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Plenty to come through the morning on RSN. Make sure you stay tuned all the way through The Breakfast Club with Half Whitey and Rama returns this morning from 6 o'clock. Hopefully Half gets out of the gates this morning. Shatak was caught yesterday, but hopefully he's back after a bit of a medical episode. We'll get the latest from Phil Murphy on The Breakfast Club and find out what's happening in the US after some dramatic scenes yesterday from the NBA. The season's still in jeopardy, according to reports. He'll give us the latest, the early mail before 7 o'clock, and then from 7 this morning, the most important half hour of your week, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn, to take a look at all of the quaddy legs at Caulfield tomorrow. Group 1 racing returns to Melbourne. The start of a new Group 1 racing season down here in Victoria should be sensational with the Memsey Stakes. Can't wait for tomorrow. John Roughhead from the Pies to jump on the line after 7.30 this morning as well. And don't forget, after 8 o'clock, Boomer Harvey with the Friday footy preview, as he always is. After 8.30 today, a Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. Michael Sharkey will be along from 9 o'clock for the Friday Form Focus. And then after 10.30 today, Gareth Hall to find you all the winners on RSN Central with a massive Form Express. And also Hamish and Dean, very much looking forward to that, as I do every Friday on RSN. If you miss any of the goodness at any stage, don't forget rsn.net.au or subscribe to the podcasts at your local podcast store. Let's get stuck into what happened last night, though. And I tell you what, this was an amazing story to watch evolve in front of your very eyes. Essendon coming back from 36 points down at halftime to beat Hawthorn last night by 16 points. The final score, 13-9-87, the Dons. Hawthorn 10-11-71. The story of the night, no doubt, Joe Danaher, who was outstanding up forward, kicking three goals, three and 10 marks, eight score involvements as well. He was outstanding, Joe, on his return. Let's hear from John Worsfold on his big key forward, who played his first game in over 400 days.
He's talented. He's been committed to getting himself back to this point. So, yeah, he's had setbacks. It's been frustrating. He's obviously no question he would have had doubts at some points about what's going wrong here, why can't I get this going. But all the way through, he's been open to working with a team to get him back playing. So, as I said, everyone's put a lot of time and energy into assisting Joey be able to do what he loves doing.
Great news for Joe Danaher and the Essen Football Club. Joe, don't go, as Anthony Hudson said last night. I'm sure that's what most Bombers fans will be thinking this morning. To the other match last night, and what a contest it was. It was hot early, and then the Tigers were able to get some ascendancy. A bit of a flurry from the Eagles, but in the end, a Richmond too good. The final score, 14 goals, 4-88 to West Coast, 9-7-61. Let's hear from Damien Hardwick. First of all, on the win.
I was really pleased with our players' endeavour, and especially our pressure. I thought our pressure was over two throughout the night. And, you know, West Coast, if they get to play the game their own way, are really damaging. You know, time in possession is how they play and uncontested marks, and we probably denied that a little bit tonight. We've set ourselves for a big month. You know, it's really coming into the, you know, the fire in the belly type of season where you just got to start to consolidate your spot in the eight. And, you know, I thought we did that a little bit tonight. What I will say, West Coast are a great side. Did they play their best tonight? No, they didn't. And we're probably a little bit the same. I think both of us have got significant areas of improvement that we'll look at and we'll continue to get better.
Let's hear from Damien Hardwick too on a hamstring injury, unfortunately, to Dylan Grimes last night.
Look, we think it's on the minor end of the scale, but once again, we'll have scans either tomorrow or the day following. And we'll give you guys the information you require. At this stage, we'd probably just say it's on the minor scale, but, you know, Dill's had some history, so we've just got to be mindful. He's such an important player for us, one of the best defenders in the AFL, so we've got to make sure he's right for when the whips are cracking.
We'll hear from the losing coaches a little later in the breakfast bite. Now to Luke Beveridge. This was quite the attack on the AFL yesterday. Here's what he had to say about sling tackles, with a couple of players being let off in the last couple of weeks. And perhaps the Bulldogs should have appealed Hayden Crozier's sling tackle that he was suspended for earlier in the year.
If we appealed that now, we'd actually get it off. Because there seems to be a shift again in the interpretation and what actually the end result is. I think it's reasonably easy to establish whether a player's lifted a player off the ground or whether they've really spun them with some vigour with an arm pinned. It's not that hard. So we keep moving away from trying to establish any sort of understanding of intent and precedent. So it's a bit of a dog's breakfast, unfortunately. You can't tell them to be careful, and you can't instruct them either way because you're not sure which way to instruct them. And that's the shame of it all, that we as coaches have no handle on which way to coach it. So we'll and we keep thinking of the juniors and the leagues that feed our national code, and at some point, you know, we've got to stabilise it. It'll happen at some point. I don't know when.
Luke Beveridge speaking there yesterday. More from the footy world coming ahead of the Cats and the Bulldogs later on tonight. That is going to be an absolute ripper. We'll hear from Chris Scott and Joel Selwood later in the show. Also, Jeff Walsh with an update on Collingwood's injuries as well. Let's turn our minds to cricket now, where Australia have landed in England. Let's hear from Adam Zampa, who spoke about adjusting to the biosecurity bubble.
There's a few different things. I think, you know, you're around your teammates a lot more. I think, like, the certain time slots that you can do things, so going to the gym and, you know, lunch and breakfast and dinner all being certain times. But other than that, it's been nice. We've had our own space when we've needed it, but, you know, the facility here has been great, so, all that we've needed.
He also spoke about his own form and what he's expecting from the tour of the UK.
No, I think I've just come with experience a little bit more confident in my action and technical things that I've been working on. So, you know, I think just the amount that we were playing helps as well. So coming off a little break, it's been interesting, you know, doing a pre-season, which a lot of us haven't had the opportunity to do in a long time. So the boys are pretty fit and raring to go. But, yeah, I think the momentum that we had in March is something that we can probably fight to gain back in England.
Let's head to the latest from the NBA. This was an extraordinary story yesterday with news that the NBA playoffs would be postponed for the time being, which was amazing as it was developing. The games today are going to be postponed as well. But as reports indicate this morning, it does look like a resumption will take place in the next 24 hours or so. Let's hear from Chris Webber. He's an analyst on Thursday Night Basketball. He's also a former NBA player himself for the Golden State Warriors as recently as 2008, made the NBA All-Star team five times. This is what he had to say about the situation as it was evolving yesterday.
I'm very proud of the players. I don't know the next steps. Don't really care what the next steps are because the first steps are to garner attention. And they have everybody's attention around the world right now. Then leadership and others will get together and decide the next steps. So we know it won't end tomorrow. We know that there's been a million marches and nothing will change tomorrow. We know vote. We keep hearing vote. Everybody vote. But I'm here to speak for those that are always marginalized, those that live in these neighborhoods where we preach and tell them to vote and walk away. Charles Barkley came to my high school. Just seeing him in the locker room, seeing his hands and his body, that inspired me. You can't be something till you see it. And when I tell you the little kids that have called me upset, I have a godson that has autism, and I just had to explain to him why we aren't playing. I have young nephews that I've had to talk to about death before they've even seen it in a movie. If not now, when? If not during a pandemic and countless lives being lost, if not now, when? That's all I just want to hear from the rest of the night while everybody's pontificating and thinking and soapboxing and all of that. We know nothing is going to change. We get it. If Martin Luther King got shot and risked his life, Mega Evers, if we've seen this and all of our heroes constantly taken down, we understand it's not going to end. But that does not mean, young men, that you don't do anything. Don't listen to these people telling you don't do anything because it's not going to end right away. You are starting something for the next generation and the next generation to take over. Do you have to be smart? Yes. Do you have to make sure that you have a plan? Yes. Do you have to be articulate about that plan? Yes. All of those things. But that's what you're going to do. They're professionals. They know how to be the best of themselves. And so I applaud it. I applaud it because it is the young people. It is the young people leading the way. And I applaud them.
Chris Webber speaking there. Yes, we'll get the latest on that from Phil Murphy later in the Breakfast Club. Let's head to the NRL action from last night. And it was Parramatta and South Sydney on Thursday night rugby league in the NRL. It was a walloping as well. 38 points to nil, South Sydney over Parramatta. Parramatta with over 55 missed tackles. It was a shocking performance. It did come at a cost, though, for South Sydney. Latrell Mitchell, their star fullback, doing his hammy. Here's Wayne Bennett on that situation.
Look, he's done his hamstring, but we're just not sure the seriousness of it, whether it's, you know, probably won't be ending under a month, but hopefully he'll be back in a month. Well, we came here with confidence tonight because we've won our last four games. So that's what winning does for you. And playing well to win as well. And we've been in a lot of situations where, you know, we've been behind. And well, I think we're 16-0 behind one night, got up and won there. We're beaten right on full time last week against the Cowboys and they've managed to win that. You know, so it's, they've been through some good experiences, which has given them some confidence. And they've managed to win the games, which gives you even more confidence.
Good luck to the Melbourne Storm on Sunday. They're in action against the Manly Seagulls, currently sitting in second spot on the ladder behind Penrith. So hopefully they can close out a victory. Then they'll get a gap on Parramatta, who are sitting in third place after that walloping last night. A lot of commentary over the last couple of days as to why there hasn't been more players thank Anthony Seibold publicly via social media or in the press about his contribution to the Brisbane Broncos. Pat Carrigan, who has captained the side at times this season, had his say on that yesterday.
A little bit embarrassing if you took to social media to be able to voice your opinion of Seibs. All the players had their own conversations with Seibs over the, you know, the hour that he was here. You know, he's got a mobile phone and boys can ring him. And yeah, I've had conversations with Seibs about how I was grateful for everything he did for me.
Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll come back with the latest from the BMW Championship, some live action from the golf over there in the US, supercars, A-League rugby, and the rest of your footy news on this Friday morning.
This This is The Breakfast Bite.
A bogey at the 10th. A couple of pars since then. Now trying to get back to even. Oh, this looks really good. Man, I think a little hangover on the first hole there coming.
There we go. Dustin Johnson getting it back to even par. He trails by two. The leaders in the BMW Championship at the moment, Harry Higgs, who's two under. Hogue, Duncan and Wolf also sharing the lead at two under the card. In terms of the Australians, there's four playing in this event. Adam Scott is one over through seven holes in a tie for 35th. Jason Day is two over after four in a time for 51st. And Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith, both three over the card after 10 and 11 holes respectively. So good luck to the Aussies. Hope they can close strongly on the back nine there in the US on the BMW Championship. Of course, only two tournaments left, this one and the Tour Championship next week before the end of the season. Let's head to some big news in rugby yesterday. It was announced that Michael Hooper, the captain of the Wallabies, is off. He's going to play his rugby in Japan. Here's what he had to say.
Depending on when, whether it's a domestic Super Rugby comp, a Trans-Tasman comp, whatever it looks like, if it's pushed back later, there's definitely capacity for me to come back and jump into a Waratah jersey, understanding that, you know, there's going to be other guys in my position there. And, you know, have to work my way back into the team and want to give myself and be around the environment as best as I can leading into France 2023.
Fair to say that that deal in Japan, you'd be making up that loss of income from what's happened here in Australia this year?
I prefer not to say, talk about dollars here. So, look, like I said, there's financial motivation here and there's also experience and motivate and, you know, the other side of it as well.
The way Australian rugby is going, there'd be a lot of financial motivation to move overseas at this stage. Up to 10 Melbourne Rebels rumoured to be off as well. So it'll be interesting to see what rugby looks like next year in Australia. To the supercars now, Dave Reynolds is looking for a podium finish this weekend. He hasn't had one all season, but he's hoping that Townsville can prove a change of luck for him.
You know, I'm much more confident going into this weekend. Last year we qualified on pole here, so you know our base setup of our car should be pretty much ready to go roll out. So as long as the track hasn't changed much or the tyre model hasn't changed much, I think we should be in for a good time.
A-League Grand Final takes place on Sunday night. It's going to be a huge clash between Melbourne City and Sydney FC. Sydney FC have won pretty much every trophy in the last 3 years of competition. Milos Ninkovic says that despite some patchy form towards the end of the season, he always knew they'd come good in the finals.
You know, obviously in last 5-6 games we didn't play like we wanted, you know, but I knew it when it comes to semis and final series that it's going to be a totally different team, you know, and sometimes it's hard when you won the premiers, you know, to play against team they desperate to beat you, especially they want to finish a top 6 or top 3, but I knew it when it comes to final series that we're going to be a different team.
Let's head to a bit of the footy news to wrap up the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. The team changes ahead of tonight's clash between the Western Bulldogs and Geelong. Torrey Dixon and Will Hayes come in for Ben Cavara and Pat Lipinski. Meanwhile, for the Cats, two changes as well. Harry Taylor and Zach Tui come in. Asava Radaglia and Jordan Clark have both been left out of the team to take on the Western Bulldogs. This one to be played at Metricon Stadium, 7:50 tonight. Let's hear from Chris Scott on Joel Selwood.
We've been through the situation with Joel in the past, in particular last year, where we probably left the decision to play up to him a little bit too much, and you know, he would play with no arms and legs if you left it completely up to him, and it's just not the right thing for us, in our opinion, to play him when he's less than 100%. So we've got great confidence that the little niggle he's got around his knee is minor. But we're at the stage of the season, and he's at the stage of his career, to be frank, as a 32-year-old, where we should only ask him to play when he's close to 100% capacity.
So Chris Scott says, we'll make the decision. Here's what Joel Selwood had to say.
it is one of those ones that when you have trust in the system, you know, and these short turnarounds, and, you know, we do have a little bit of a longer break after this, but I do have the ability to go into a game feeling closer to 100% than what I have in the past, which has been really nice to do, because I just don't want to get exhausted more than anything else right now because of how we've set up the season so far. So, to be honest, it'll probably come down to my decision more than the medical teams, and I'll just, yeah, go off. I don't need to be desperate, but I'll play if I feel like I'm ready and right to go.
So Joel Selwood says it's his decision. Chris Scott says it's his. Wait and see how that plays out over the next week or so. Now to Jeff Walsh from the Pies. He spoke and gave us an injury update on Jordan DeGoey, Isaac Craner, and Adam Treloar.
Jordan's hand injury is coming along really well. Actually, he's done a lot of aerobic work in the last couple of weeks. And in fact, the latest report is that quite possible we'll see him resuming certainly before the end of the home and away season. And with a bit of luck, that could be as early as round 16, but we'll keep you posted. But he's certainly coming along quite well. Isaac Quainer completed some training last week, and pleasingly for everyone, you'll be delighted to know that he's available for selection this week. So that nasty gash has healed really well, really quickly. And Isaac was running and kicking on it last weekend, and he's now been given the all clear by the medicos to put his hand up for selection. So that's great news. Ads Treloar running quite well. We expect Adam to resume before the home and away season ends as well.
So some good news for Pies fans there, with a couple of key players heading back into the lineup over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Isaac Quainer, hopefully, on Sunday. Let's finish with the scores from last night. In case you're just waking up, Essendon coming back from 36 points down at halftime to beat Hawthorn by 16 points. An incredible turnaround in the second half. Joe Danaher, the star up forward, who booted 3 for the Bombers, including 10 marks as well amongst his 14 possessions, 8 score involvements. He was a star. Let's hear from John Worsfold after the win.
I'm proud of the fact that they were able to not run out in the second half disappointed and flat, but still believing in let's commit to what we've all said we're trying to work towards. And if it happens, it happens. And they started, you could just see in early in that third quarter, they got a feel for what our best footy looks like and what we've been training and committing to. And they got excited about it. Yeah, I think Truck asked Irving Mosquito, I don't know, was that the third quarter, Truck, maybe, when he came off? And he just said, how much fun is this? So that sort of shows they started to just feel the rewards of the hard work they've been putting in.
John Worsfold speaking last night. Although Danaher will get a lot of the credit, Andrew McGrath, geez, wasn't he impressive? Just picked the team up and carried them off his own back in that third quarter. He had 32 possessions. Zach Merritt had 36, and 27 for Langford as well. Essendon having 6 of the 7 highest possession winners on the park last night. Some bad news for the Hawks. John Patton limping off with an injury. Let's hear from Alistair Clarkson.
He's had a tough run, and that's quite often the case with guys who miss a lot of footy with one ailment. Then they try to get themselves back and going again. And yeah, he worked really hard to get himself fit and ready to play, and played a couple of scrimmage games in the last month, and then played quite well last week against Port Adelaide and gave us a target up forward, and we're thinking, oh, this is a good step in the right direction for him. But then nearly the first contest he went for tonight, he hurt himself. So we'll see where that goes, and he'll be disappointed. But he's confronted setbacks like this before, and he'll just have to do it again.
To Metricon Stadium last night, a 27-point win for Richmond over West Coast. A dominant victory in the end after being challenged in the third term. Let's hear from Adam Simpson. A bit of an injury to Josh Kennedy earlier in the night. Didn't get to see much game time.
Yeah, he got a head knock. Obviously couldn't come back on. So I had a chat with him at three-quarter time. I'm quite sure if he knew, I was talking to him or not. So yeah, we'll just have to assess him. But, you know, we'll do whatever's right for him.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. Don't forget, after 6, Half Whitey and Arama with the Breakfast Club on your Friday at from 8.30, Michael Felgate with Racing Pulse, and from 10.30, RSN Central with Gareth Hall. We'll find you all the winners ahead of a massive weekend of racing and plenty of sport heading your way as well. Have a great weekend. We'll chat again on Monday.